Tonight, I'll be speaking to you on the topic of dealing with the ups and downs of life and devotion. Those from Dallas, you heard a 5-minute introduction to this topic the other night, so I'll be expanding on the same subject. Everybody has to deal with ups and downs. People who aren't following a spiritual path, people who aren't devotees, they at least have their ups and downs in life to deal with. Devotees also have their ups and downs in their material life to deal with. And devotees also have ups and downs in their spiritual life that they have to manage. Let's start with our material life. How to deal with the ups and downs? There are two ways that we do that. One is through knowledge, tattva jnana, and the other is through spiritual progress. We need both. We need understanding to help give us a healthy perspective so that we're not as affected by the ups and downs of material life. And we also need devotional progress. The more attached we become to God, the more impervious we become to the effects of the world. Internally, we become more and more impervious to it. What knowledge do we need? We need to understand, first of all, the nature of this world. The nature of Maya is to have ups and downs. There are a few things that you can count on in Maya. One thing is variation. Like if you look at a tree, one of these big live oaks we have out here at Radha Madhav Dham, that has probably, if you counted all the leaves, it must be in the hundreds of thousands. But if you took every single leaf from one tree and looked at it, you could find differences between each and every leaf. You could look at that one leaf you chose and find some distinctive characteristic about it, and then you could mix it in with all other 100,000 leaves from the same tree, and you could find that leaf because it has distinctive characteristics. Even twins have distinctive characteristics. If you had all the faces, if you had photographs of every person who's walked the earth, in the life of this earth planet, you wouldn't find two people who look exactly the same, nor two fingerprints that look exactly the same, nor two voices that sound exactly the same. So variation is a law of mayic energy. We see unlimited variation in this world. Other than variation, we also have this characteristic of Maya, that there are many, many pairs of opposites in Maya, like good and bad. In the material world, we have good and we have bad. In our material mind, we have good and bad potential because the good and bad qualities of Maya are inherent in every material mind. This material world doesn't just have bad things, and it doesn't just have good things. It always has pairs of opposites, like hot and cold, day and night, life and death, summer and winter. The third characteristic of Maya is that there's constant change, and it's cyclical change. So if you examine the pairs of opposites, day changes to night, changes back to day, changes back to night. So these pairs of opposites keep taking turns or alternating. The fluctuations in this world are guaranteed. Change is guaranteed in this world. Nothing is permanent or stable. Everything is temporary. From the moment something comes into being, it is moving towards its death, you could say. So variation is a given in this world. pairs of opposites are a given, and constant cyclical change is a given, from life to death to life to death, and on and on and on. This even applies to things like the stock market. It goes up, then it comes down. It goes up, then it comes down. It applies to your favorite sports teams. Sometimes they're winning, then they start losing. They won't keep losing forever. Eventually they'll start winning again, but they won't keep winning forever. They'll start losing again. Everything goes up and down in this world. And we live in this world. We need things from this world. We need food. We need money. We need a house, medicine, a car. We have many needs in this world. So we depend on the world to some extent, and we have to live in it. As long as we're living in it, we're surrounded by these constant changes, ups and downs going on in the world. It's cold outside, it's icy, but in a few months it's going to be 110 degrees. Then it will get cold again. The knowledge that we have to keep in our mind is that this is going to happen. It's going to keep happening forever. So in Gita, Sri Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukhadukhada. Souls live in this world, and the world is full of all these constantly alternating pairs of opposites. And then souls are affected by these changes in the world. Our human mind is affected by these changes. We get happiness and unhappiness according to whether we like heat or whether we like cold. Some people may prefer this weather to the 110 degree weather in the summer. So they may be feeling happy right now. But if you look at the peacocks outside, they're looking miserable. So if our happiness and unhappiness is dependent on what's happening in the world around us, then we're guaranteed to have constant ups and downs, because that's what the world is, right? The world is constantly having these changes and going up and down, up and down. So if our happiness or unhappiness is connected to what's happening in the external world, it's guaranteed that we will be having emotional ups and downs all the time, constantly. Yet, even though this, you know, I'm laying this out to you logically, it makes sense, we can all accept it. And yet, what do we do in the world? How do we... Or what should I should say, what do we expect from the world? We expect constancy, no change, something we can rely on, even perfection. This is what we look for in the world. When we get something we like, we want to hold on to it forever. And we aim to get rid of all the things we don't like from our life. Both of these things are impossible. Sarve chayanta nichaya patananta samuchraya sanyoga viprayoganta maranantancha jivanam. Every physical form in this material universe is moving towards its destruction. Although the three eternal existences, God, the souls, and the original material energy, Maya, they can never be destroyed. But the physical forms created out of this Mayic energy, those are temporary. And that's the world we live in. We live in this world of Mayic energy, which has taken many physical forms. And we walk around this world and we decide, this thing is mine, that thing is mine. I need to have that to be happy, or I've gotten this and it's making me very happy. And then we want to hold on to it. And yet the nature of that thing is that it had a beginning. It was formed like a sandcastle on the beach. And it's going to get washed away like that sandcastle on the beach. The sand was there before and it will remain after. But the sandcastle is charnik. It's just there for a moment and then gone. Like a bubble on the water. The water was there before and it will remain after. That bubble appeared on the water. Who knows how long is it going to stay there? And then pop, it's gone. That's the objects and forms of this world, and even our body. Our body is one of those forms. So it's not going to last forever. Every person we meet in this world has a body, and we get attached to their body. We get attached to their association. I want you to be mine forever. You make me happy. But they're also moving towards the death of their body. And we attach our happiness to these things. We hope to find happiness in these things, and we have a very unrealistic hope that all of these things in our life that make us happy will remain constant. But the inevitable happens. The physical possessions and the people that we're attached to get destroyed, they die, and then we experience loss, unhappiness. Or we wanted to achieve a certain situation in our life. I want my situation at work to be just like this. I want my situation in the family to be just like this. We think, if I just fix this one situation, then everything will be right in my life. Just this one colleague at work, if he just leaves me alone, everything will be right. If my husband just changes this one thing in his behavior, everything will be right in my life. If my kids just change this one fault, if they study more, if they do this, if they do that, everything will be okay in my life. But even if that one thing did happen, one of the other things that was right in your life in the meanwhile will bigar jayega. Because the things that are right in your life are also not constant. How long do they remain right for? They eventually become wrong. And the thing that was wrong may become right. But nothing ever becomes all right. And nothing becomes all wrong either. Everything keeps changing. So as long as we accept this and we have this knowledge about the world, then we're less affected. Samadukha sukham dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. Shri Krishna says to Arjuna, if you want to be qualified to attain God, then you should try to achieve a state of mental equanimity. Remain the same, whether you're getting all the things you want or all the things you don't want, remain the same. When something good happens, we become elated. And we think, oh yes, now my life is going in the right direction. Everything's going to be great. And then eventually, that thing, we lose it, or something else bad happens. Then as high as we were feeling, we feel equally low. And that's guaranteed. If we feel, to whatever extent we feel excited and elated when something good happens to us in this world, we're guaranteed to have an equal negative feeling and low, because that thing is going to not last forever. And then we get so disappointed when something bad happens. Then something good happens again. Again, we rise high. Both are the creation of our own mind. Neither the highs nor the lows are based in reality. If our thinking was based in reality, we would say, oh, this good thing happened. I wonder how long that's going to last. And if our thinking was based in reality and something bad happened, we said, yeah, something good will probably happen tomorrow. What's the big deal? That's the world. This is the state Sri Krishna says we should strive to achieve while living in the world. Samatvam yoga uchyate. He says that that is called yoga. It's another definition of the word yoga. When you keep your mind in this level-headed state, unaffected by the ups or the downs, then you are in a state of yoga. That he calls that samatvam. Sam means the same. The world goes up, your life goes up, but you stay the same. The world goes down, you stay the same. It's up to us to take this knowledge and apply it. Of course, the knowledge could be there in our intellect, but on a deeper level, we still have our attachments to worldly people and things. And even if we have this intellectual knowledge in our mind, due to the depth of our attachment to people and things in the world, when anything happens to them, then we do feel loss. We feel down. So we go down, we get dragged down along with that down period of our life, even though we have the correct knowledge. So it's actually a good measure of our spiritual progress as well. How much we're able to weather those storms that happen in life without being affected, going up and going down, we should notice that. We can't expect perfection from ourselves either. You shouldn't think, oh, I have all this knowledge and then this bad thing happened in my life and I was feeling so disappointed for a few hours or a few days. And then you get more disappointed because you're feeling disappointed, thinking you shouldn't be feeling disappointed. What kind of devotee am I? No, unless you're God realized, you will feel disappointed because you are attached. We all have attachments. The moment we have no attachments, it means we have 100% attachment in Krishna, then we'll be God realized. So we have attachments, thus we are going to have these ups and downs in life, but it should start to level out. So if the graph was looking like this before, it will start to look like this. The ups are also being replaced by the devotional happiness. So don't think that you're becoming like some kind of robot that's unfeeling. You're just grounded in reality now. So you're not fooled by the ups and downs of this world. The world was never meant to make you happy, nor was it meant to make you sad. You only feel happy and sad in proportion to the depth of your attachments to this world. So you created the attachment by believing that there's happiness in the world. Thus, you created your own experience of happiness and unhappiness in the world. So it's not a fact. It's not based in reality. It's based in our own misconception, our own misunderstanding that there is happiness in this world. So now that we understand the world is just the world, it's always a combination of opposites, which always keep fluctuating in a cyclical, constant state of change. Once we understand this is the reality of the world, then there's no need to get happy when we get the thing we want or to get unhappy when we don't. And we get our happiness from our spiritual connection to Radha Krishna. And we can measure. We can just know, okay, I'm still feeling this much excitement when this good thing happened to me. Okay, it means I'm better than I was before, but I can still see I'm having some reaction here. When something bad happens to me, someone doesn't appreciate me, points out a fault, even insults me, or I experience some loss in my life, however much down I feel, I can just see, okay, I'm not being affected as much as I was before. So that's a good sign, but I can still see I'm being affected. So I still have more work to do. So we have the knowledge, and then the more we practice, the more we practice remembering that knowledge, and the more we practice sadhana, thus increasing our attachment to Radha Krishna, then automatically from within, our worldly attachments decrease, and we experience that our mind is becoming more settled in this state of equanimity. Now, even the devotees, those souls who follow a path of devotion, follow the path of bhakti in order to attain God, they're going to be experiencing less up and down in their material life, meaning their reaction to the ups and downs will not be as much. But they also have a spiritual life. They're spiritual progress towards God. That also has its ups and downs. So we also have to understand how to deal with those. What perspective should we use to look at those ups and downs? First of all, what causes the ups and downs? Number one, sanskar. We have good sanskars and we have bad sanskars, and they come into our conscious mind and affect us. And they also have a period of duration and intensity. Sanskars don't last forever. They are the result of our previous lifetime's thoughts. Every time we have a thought, it creates a subtle impression on our mind, which is a subtle, like a computer chip can store a huge amount of information. But that's very gross compared to our mind. The storage capacity of our mind is unlimited. Our mind is so subtle. Every thought we have is stored in our mind in the form of a sanskar. It's like if you expose, although most people don't use photographic paper anymore, everything's electronic, but if you have a photographic paper and it's exposed to light, the image is imprinted on that paper. Something like that, but in a much more subtle way. Our mind is exposed to the force of that thought, which also has a quality to it. Was it an evil thought? Was it a normal, selfish thought? Was it kind of a neutral thought, like I should brush my teeth? Was it a greedy thought, like, I really have a taste for ice cream. I want to eat some ice cream right now. Was it a more sattvic thought, I should do something nice for this person? Was it a devotional thought, I should do some sadhana, I want to attain God? Every thought has its own quality, its own intensity, and that is stored in the mind. Then you can say that all the thoughts of the same type obviously are going to create similar sanskars, so those sanskars group together, so to speak, if you're thinking of it three-dimensionally. All sanskars of a similar quality will be grouped together. So you keep strengthening your devotional sanskars by doing sadhana, by thinking devotional thoughts, by feeling your connection with Krishna, remembering him with you. Every one of those thoughts is strengthening those devotional sanskars. It's getting more and more powerful. And when we have normal, selfish thoughts regarding enjoying the world, then every time we indulge in those kind of thoughts, we're strengthening that sanskar in our mind. Every time we have dejected kind of thoughts, oh, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I can't do this, why should I bother, I don't care, these kind of thoughts are grouped together and create that kind of sanskar. And these sanskaras are all stored in the mind from so many past lives. But the ones from the most recent lifetimes are more close to the surface of our conscious mind, and they have a greater effect on the mind. They are part of our destiny as well. Our external life, the physical things that happen to us or don't happen to us in this life, many of them are the result of our past good and bad actions. It's part of our physical destiny or our external destiny. We have an internal destiny also. Which sanskar, which is lying dormant in our subconscious mind, is going to reflect up into our conscious mind at what time, on what day, how long is it going to stay in our mind? And then according to the strength of that sanskar and the quality of it, it's going to affect our mood and we'll feel more depressed or greedy to enjoy the world or spiritual, devotional, depending upon the effect of that sanskar. Obviously, this is going to have an effect on the ups and downs that a devotee experiences. Some days you're just not naturally feeling devotional, and other days you are. Your mind very easily goes towards devotion. So these sanskars also every devotee undergoes. These are further compounded by the associations that we're having. Let's say we're having a bad sanskar, a non-devotional sanskar, and at the same time we're surrounded by very worldly people who are also influencing us in that way. That's going to compound the effect of that sanskar. Vice versa is also true. If you're around very devotional people who are influencing you in that way, that can actually help you to deal with that bad sanskar. And if you're having a devotional sanskar, it will help to improve it. Plus, there's our effort, which is apart from the effect of the sanskar. You may have a bad sanskar and still just with your own willpower say, no, I'm going to satsang today. My mind, under the effect of this bad sanskar, does not feel like going to satsang. Aarti's starting at 7:30. I don't feel like going. Aarti's starting at 6:30 in the morning. I don't feel like going. But you can decide with your own willpower that, no, I'm going to go. Thus, the amount of effort we put in also affects our ups and downs. When we put less effort, it's more likely we're going to feel more downs. When we put more effort, it's more likely that we're going to experience more ups in devotion. So our effort may be more or less. We may be having good association, bad association. We may be having devotional sanskars, worldly sanskars. All of these factors keep changing in every devotee's life. And because of this, sometimes we experience more progress in devotion and sometimes we feel less progress. Just like in life, in our material life, when something good happens to us, we often think, oh yes, now I'm set. Now my life is just great. And it's going to stay great forever. Similarly, when we're having a good sanskar and we're making good effort and we're in good association, everything is going right, we're having an elevated devotional experience, what do we think? Oh yes, this is it. I'm just going to keep sailing along like this. Now all the hard days are behind me. That's what we think. But it's inevitable. We are going to experience some kind of bad sanskar eventually. Eventually our willpower is going to falter. And we may put less effort in. We may lapse into bad habits, which we thought we were cured of. We all have our challenges in this way. So then when that happens, when we thought we just had clear sailing and all those hard days were behind us, and then all of a sudden it all comes crashing back down, then we feel even more dejected because we thought, oh, where was I and where have I come down to now? So we also have to maintain a state of samatvam in our devotion. When we're having those easy sailing days, we should keep it in mind that right now I'm having a good sanskar and I'm surrounded by devotees. I'm having good association and I've controlled most of my bad habits. So everything is working in the right direction, but I have to be prepared. It's not that we want those good days to end. We want to get as much progress out of those good days as we can while they last. But we should also just be aware that difficult times will most likely return. Every devotee, you know, having a bad sanskar come is one thing. That a devotee can understand, right? But when our willpower falters, when things we've tried to stop doing, we again start doing. Bad habits we thought we had eliminated, we start taking up again. That's when we can really start feeling dejected. That it's not just a bad sanskar, it's my own foolishness, laziness, carelessness. I've spoiled myself. It's okay to realize our mistakes, but we actually compound the problem if we get into a state of dejection. That, oh, I did it again. I promised myself, I promised Maharaji, I promised Radha Krishna I would never do that again, and here I am doing it again. Okay, on one hand, we should feel some amount of repentance. We should shed tears because of this. But on the other hand, we don't want to get into a state of dejection. We should just think that, you know, I've made this mistake before. I'm making it again. Sure, I've been careless and lazy. But look at how I've been able to progress anyway. That's the point. Sure, if I had followed all of Maharaji's instructions, if I had given my full effort in 17 years of devotion, there's no doubt I should have been God-realized by now. No reason I shouldn't have been. 100% I would have been. It's only my own carelessness, not caring, that means instead of being 100% of the way there, I'm only 2.5% of the way there. But I've made 2.5% of progress. That in itself is amazing. Despite all the mistakes, all the carelessness, yet somehow I'm still progressing. Obviously, that illustrates the greatness of the path of bhakti, the greatness of the grace of Guru, the greatness of the grace of Radha Krishna. So that should give us confidence. My point in saying all of this is that we also need to expect ups and downs in devotion. We will have ups and downs in the amount of effort we put in. We'll have ups and downs in our laziness compared to our effort that we're putting in. We're not perfect. So although we want to strive to be perfect, but we shouldn't compound our feelings when we're feeling down in devotion. We shouldn't compound those feelings by adding more dejection to it. We should just feel, okay, I'm having a bad sanskar, plus I'm being more careless nowadays, but I'm still okay. Despite all of this, I'm still progressing. I will recover. I will, again, make better effort, become less careless, and I will speed up my progress again. Of course, eventually, these ups and downs, you want them to be to level out, meaning it should be like a more smooth progress. Obviously on up, whereas in this world, it's more like this. You never get ahead in this world, okay? You go up and down and up and down. You never get ahead. In devotion, you can get ahead. But instead of having the progress look like that, it's better to have it look like that. So you don't want to get too carried away feeling that, oh yeah, now everything's great, or too dejected thinking, oh, I've ruined it again. Just feel that, you know, it's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. This path, I have a long way to go. So there's going to be ups and downs. I have to have confidence in God and Guru's grace, confidence in this path of bhakti. Look at how much progress I've made and just have confidence that I'm going to keep progressing in this way. And that will actually help us to maintain a more positive outlook, become more dedicated, and overcome our faults and our bad habits. So these are some of my thoughts on how we can deal with the ups and downs of life and devotion. I'm sure you have a lot of your own experiences that you can add to this. So if anyone has any questions or wants to talk about it afterwards, we'll be happy to discuss with you.